pleasure this morning. It's kind of neat. It's been a really long time since I've had the privilege of both of my daughters being on here on stage with me and playing and singing. It's just always exciting for me. You know, we put a lot of stock in those kids, don't we? We love them, care for them, and it's just neat seeing them serving the Lord. Appreciate that. All right, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. We're going to start this message this morning and end it tonight. So if you want all of it, you'll have to be here tonight. I know we've got a large group that's not going to be here tonight, heading out of town. But it's good that for those that come out and be a part of this, good to see them. You know, I didn't even see Mr. Nathan back there this morning. Nathan, how are you? You and your lovely wife. Appreciate you guys this morning. Good to see you. Good to see you. Visiting. Where is it you guys live? St. Louis. It's good. Isn't it neat to get the family in? I love that. When the kids come in, it's just a great thing. Nehemiah chapter 2. You know, isn't it easy to get caught up in all the things we do in our world? I mean, even legitimate things. We've got jobs. We've got family. We've got recreation. We've got all these things that we get caught up in. And if we're not very careful, we get so caught up in all of our daily responsibilities and the things that are necessary and things that we do need to do. We get so caught up in that if we're not careful, we kind of forget about the things of God. We forget about what's going on in the rest of the world. We kind of forget that God's got a plan and that God wants to reach all the people in the world. He wants to reach them for Jesus Christ, and we've got an obligation to share that gospel. But if we get so caught up with everything else that are important things and responsibilities, that sometimes those things are kind of put on the back burner. Nehemiah was just one of those individuals. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king of Persia, whose name was Artaxerxes. I'm not going to say that any more often than I have to, because I have to struggle with it. But it was a really high position to hold. I mean, he was kind of his right-hand man there. He depended upon him. He trusted him. And he just went about his daily life doing these things in a very high position, a good job. I mean, he's got it made. Nehemiah's got it made in life, and everything is just really well-suited for him. Everything is working just the way it works. Typically, that individual will live in the king's house, his mansion. And I mean, all the things that are available to the king are typically available to him. And so he has all of this right at his fingertips. And so it's not as though he doesn't care about what's going on back in Jerusalem, but it's kind of out of mind, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And so what happens is, as though he might care and he loves the people there, he doesn't really see the plight that was going on in Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem, ever since the time that it had been destroyed by Babylon, ever since the time that they had burned down the walls and destroyed the temple and all of those kind of things, Jerusalem was just sitting a wasteland. People were living there, and they were kind of trying to make do, but the city was a shambles. It was awful. And so what happens is this, is there were folks from time to time that came back. For example, Zerubbabel had come back, and a fellow by the name of Jeshua, and they got together, and they built the temple, got the temple up and going. But now the temple's there, but they've got no wall around the building, nothing surrounding it, nothing surrounding the city to keep it from being vulnerable to every person that was out there and all the different enemy that was surrounded them. And so Nehemiah kind of knew in the back of his mind what all this was about. He knew it kind of went on, but out of sight, out of mind. Some folks from Judah had come to see him and to talk to him because they knew he had the king's ear. And they came to him and began to share with him just how awful the plight was there in Jerusalem. And though he had never really seen it, and though he had never been a part of it, and though he probably didn't think of it real often, suddenly when they began to share this with him, he began to really have a burden for it. He began to weep, and he began to pray, and he began to just spend time with the Lord and thinking about how awful this place was. And he also even used the word, it was a reproach. He says that because it made God look bad. It even made the God of the people look bad because the city had been so destroyed. I don't know about you, but I kind of run into this sometimes, where I know that there's lost people in the world. I get it. I know that when people die without Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. I get it. I understand that there are people out in the world that are suffering and hurting, and I understand that there are things going on that are difficult to deal with. I get it. But until you really see it firsthand, until you can be right there with it, until you really see how awful it is, I think sometimes we lose sight of all of that. You know, sometimes missionaries will come in and they'll share their story. You know, I'm a missionary to, I don't know, some foreign country, India. And they'll say, you know, this is what's going on, this is what's going on. And I'm listening to them and they're sharing their story. And I'll be honest, as they share it, I'm starting to get an understanding of what they're dealing with. But quite frankly, they're not my people. And it's hard for me to really get that same burden for them that maybe they have. And then they'll throw a bunch of pictures on the TV screens, and we'll look at those pictures, and we start to get a little bit of an understanding. Man, that's a horrible place. Man, that's awful what they're having to deal with. And we begin to get a little better picture, and we get a little more concerned about maybe what's going on. And then they take it even to another level, and they say, listen, we'd like for you get a group of people and come down here and do a mission trip. And you get a group of people, and you decide, okay, you know what, they've kind of convinced me how important it is, I'm going to go to the mission trip. And you get on the mission trip, and you see it firsthand, and the next thing you know, you're going, I want to be a missionary to India. Because you see the plight. Nehemiah, as long as he was living in the king's house, as long as he was doing all those things, all those kinds of things, it wasn't that he wasn't concerned about it. He just didn't have a firsthand understanding. Once he did, it burdened him to the point that he decided something has to be done. So he goes to the king and he gets permission to go back to Jerusalem so that he can get all the people together and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. So they can be protected, so things can be taken care of, and it'll not be a reproach. We want to look at this, and we want to see some things about this and rebuilding those walls and in what he had to go through that causes us to realize how busy we need to be in the Lord's work as well. Because though we're not talking about building a wall around Jerusalem, we are talking about a work that's a work that God has ordained, a work that God has given us, and that is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and a dying world. And for that, we need to be busy, and we need to be involved, and we need to see just how important it is today to do something just like that. And the first thing is pretty simple. We have to really get a good understanding of that need. Look at what we find in chapter 2, verse 17. Then said I unto them, now keep in mind, Nehemiah has come back. Nehemiah's in Jerusalem. Keep in mind, Nehemiah was not from Jerusalem. He was probably raised there in Babylon or Persia, somewhere along those lines. And in being raised there, he really just kind of knew what was going on, but had never really witnessed it. And so he comes and he sees all these things. He witnesses it. And he says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. The gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. You know, I have to tell you, I love the burden that Nehemiah has here. When he finally gets to the place where he sees what needs to be done, man, he can't help but to do something about it. When we finally get to the place where we see the need for someone to come to know Jesus Christ, it's like we shouldn't stop until we're able to share the gospel with them. We need to understand that if there is a need that is out there, if there's something God would have us to do, we need to put every effort into getting that thing done, because this is God's plan for us in our life. He finally, when he saw the devastation, he saw how overwhelmed they were and how this place was just looking awful and it was in a shambles, he knew that he had to do something. What if you knew you had family member that was struggling? Let's say your children. In the back of your mind, you already knew they must be struggling a little bit, because you knew they were maybe struggling with their job or they were struggling with income and they had purchased some things. And you knew in the back of your mind, you know, they've got to be really living on a wire here. But it hasn't really come to your attention to the place where you're willing to step in yet. You think about it every now and then. You might even pray for them every now and then. But suddenly it comes to your attention. Someone says, hey, listen, I don't know if you realize just how bad things are. Do you know they're going to be evicted from their home? Did you know that they don't have any gas and electric and their babies are in there and in this place with no heat? Did you know what they're having to deal with? Were you aware that it was that bad? And man, if we found that out, tell me we wouldn't weep. Tell me we wouldn't be concerned. Tell me we wouldn't do everything we could do to get in there and to do something about it. You see, we need to be able to see lost people for who lost people are. These are people that could slip into eternity tomorrow. These are people that could die without Jesus Christ. And we think, I have a concern for lost people. I pray that God will see them saved. I pray that God will deal with their hearts, deal with their lives. I have a concern. I don't want to see people die and go to hell. I want them to understand, and I want them to know that their hope is in Jesus Christ. But how bad do we want that? Have we realized it to the point where we're going, God, use me. God, I'm the guy. I need to go out and tell them about Jesus. I'm the one. I need to do something. What we find in the case of Nehemiah is Nehemiah sees this need so greatly that he quits his job for a time. He says, hey, listen, King, I know, you know, I love working here. I love doing what I'm doing. I love serving you in this capacity, but I need to take some time off because I have a burden for my people in Jerusalem. I have a burden for the people there that we rebuild the walls around Jerusalem because the city is a shambles. Can I get your permission for us to go back, take a group of folks back, and go back and see if we can't build the walls up around Jerusalem? Can I just take some time off to go do that? Folks, that is where we need to be when it comes to Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be when it comes to the things that God would have us to know and the things that God would have us to hear. You know, like I said, I'm no stranger to missions, and I seriously love mission work. I think you know that because our church is very mission-minded. Last year, we gave somewhere in the neighborhood of all the money that came into the church, we gave somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40% of it right back into missions. We're a mission-minded church. But I have to tell you that I don't know that my heart is in it like it really needs to be in it. I think we're a people that want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, even in our own community. We've established ministries. We have a regular visitation program where we just go out knocking on doors. We do a lot of those kinds of things. We want to see those things happen, but do we want to see it happen so bad that we're willing to sacrifice some time and effort to tell them? There's a place where we have to see how horrible the plight is. There's a place where we have to see how terrible it is. When we look back at verses 11 through 16, I'm not going to read those for you, but in verses 11 through 16, when Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, the first thing he does, he gets up in the middle of the night, and he starts walking through the city just to see what it looks like. He goes walking through the city, and he begins to see that there were certain places he couldn't even get through because it was in such a shambles. Couldn't even walk through the city. It was so bad that he couldn't even get his animals through. He couldn't even make his way to where he needed to be. And he's like, this is awful. And so when they rise up in the morning, he comes before him and says, hey, listen, this place is a mess. It's a distress to look at. You can't see how horrible this is, and you're living among this. We got to rebuild these walls. Let's start with getting the fortification up here. Let's start with protecting you from the enemy. Let's start with building these walls so people can see that your God is alive in Jerusalem. Folks, this neighborhood needs to see that God is alive at the Hilltop Baptist Church. I don't want ever for anybody in this neighborhood to not see and know where we are. I'm going to take you back 33 years. I've been here for 33 years. I want to take you back 33 years. The very first time I went out on visitation, I walked into the streets right back here. You go in, I turned left on Arcade, turned left on Horning, and whatever the name of that street is you turn left on. I turned left there, and you come to the end of that street, and it's like that hillside that you're looking at when you look across the road. Knocked on a door there. I knocked on that whole community. But I'm saying, when I knocked on that door, I told him who I was. I said, I just started pastoring Hilltop Baptist Church. We're just around the corner from you. I mean, you can literally just walk to our church from where you're at. He said, I've never seen a church there. I said, I'm telling you, there's a church there. He goes, I don't know of a church there. I said, seriously, I'm telling you, it's just around the corner. I don't know. If you ever come out on your street, you turn right, you have to go right by our church. He said, I do that all the time. I didn't know there's a church there. Like, seriously? And so I stood there and talked to him about it for a while. And I left to go to the next house. And as I left his house, I walked to go to the next house, and I glanced over to my left, and there's a space between the two houses, and I'm staring right at our church. And I'm like, our church is literally in this guy's backyard. I went back to his door, knocked on his door again. He goes, yeah, can I help you? I said, yeah. I said, I got to apologize. He goes, you got to apologize. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, this church has been here since 1965. There's no excuse for you not to know where this church is. Our people should have been here so many times that you wish you didn't know where our church was. Amen. Folks, if we're not very careful, we lose the burden for what God has given us. For someone to be within literally the shadow of our steeple and not know where we are is a shame. It's an embarrassment. People need to know who we are miles from here. They need to know who we are because they get too much stuff on their door, because they get too many people knocking on their door, because they get so many people that are sharing the gospel in their neighborhood from our church. They need to know who we are, if for no other reason, because we're driving them crazy. They need to know that this church sits here. They need to know that we're here for them. And by the way, that's an important factor. They don't need to know that we're here and that they need to support us. We need to know, and they need to know, that we're here to be a help to them, that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and might know where to come to when it comes a time to reach out to Christ. You know, the mission trips I've taken, I have to tell you, they've really driven home to me the need for missions and missionaries. Has never inspired me to be a missionary. But I have to tell you, sometimes it makes you think real hard. Every missionary I know that has come to our church and said, listen, I need your support to be a missionary, started with a little mission trip where they caught a burden for the people, where they saw what was going on, and they saw people lost, and they saw people hungry, and they saw people starving, and they saw these people that needed Jesus Christ. And God placed a burden on their heart. We need that kind of a burden right here. We need to have the kind of burden like Nehemiah that says, I am going to sacrifice anything and everything to get the cause of Jesus Christ out. Like Nehemiah, I'm going to sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice to go build these walls because they are too important not to do it. Folks, the cause of Jesus Christ is too important for us to let the rest of the world so consume us that we forget about it. You know, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were addressing the Jewish Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is like the high order of the Jews, and they're addressing them and regarding the things that they were doing in Christ, because the Sanhedrin is going, you guys need to stop doing this. They had been beaten for it. They had been, you know, mocked for it. They were being thrown in jail for the things that they were doing. And so they were confronting them about it, and they defended their actions, and they defended their actions, and they defended Jesus Christ, whom they preached. And they were doing so, they said in verse 20 of Acts chapter 4, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I can only tell you about the things that God tells me and that God shows me. I'd love to tell you about the times we go out door to door. And you know what? I'm going to be real honest with you. You may knock on 1,000, you may knock on 2,000 doors before you get to that person that'll listen to you. I can't promise you any phenomenal results like that. But I will tell you this. I can remember every time I got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can remember the times where people came to know Jesus Christ as we just randomly knocked on their doors. We have people sitting in our pews that are products of us knocking on doors, because somebody cared enough and had a burden to go out and say, hey, listen, I'm from the Hilltop Baptist Church. I just want to tell you about Jesus. First, we need to have that burden. We need to be willing. How many of your family members have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from you? How many of your coworkers have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from you? How many of your neighbors have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from you? Because you were burdened enough to say, I have got to step out of my comfort zone. I have got to step out into a place where I share something so important as this with people who are going to die and go to hell if I don't. Such an important thing. If ever we're going to be zealous for the Lord, I think it really has to be now, but it also has to be because we've seen the need. Have you not witnessed the need for Jesus Christ in your nation? And we can look at our nation. I don't think it takes a brainstorm to figure out how much we need Jesus. Amen. You know, I think about that event down at the schools in Florida. I think about how awful that was. And I would imagine there's some of you that probably wept over this thing. All of us have probably thought about it. Boy, how awful that is. I'll make a confession. I've prayed for that school. I've prayed for the teachers. I've prayed for the students. I've prayed for them. But I have to be real honest with you. That's in Florida. I'm not trying to tell you I'm an uncaring person. I'm trying to tell you that I could care less. That's not it. It's in Florida. It's not firsthand for me. Those aren't people I know firsthand. Those aren't people I have seen firsthand. Those are not people that I've touched and talked to. And though I hate the situation, and though I feel bad about the situation, and though, yes, I've taken it to prayer, I can be real honest with you. The burden in my heart is not like it would be if it was Fairfield. Had that happened over here in Fairfield schools, had that happened in a place where I know we have kids, where I know some of the teachers, I know some of the students. Had it happened there, it would have taken on a whole different responsibility. It would have taken on something different for me. Suddenly, it would have been close to home. Now, let me tell you this. Let's say your students, your kids are students there, and you've not yet heard from them. How much more of a burden would it take on then? I haven't heard from my daughter yet. I haven't heard from my son yet. I hope they're okay. I can't get anywhere near the school. Man, I hope they're fine. I hope they're okay. Man, how much different would that burden be? That's how we need to view the people around us that are going to die and go to hell. How much different would the burden be if we could see them as people that we love and people we care for? If we could see them as individuals that we want to spend eternity with, how much different would it be if we love them to that point? Nehemiah realized, you know what? These are my people. He even uses we. He wasn't from Jerusalem. His ancestors were, but he wasn't. He didn't live in Jerusalem. But he said, we need to rebuild our walls. I mean, it was personal to him. There was something that came back to this whole thing. He says, I see the need. And the need is our people need to do something. We need to step up. There has to be a need. Do we see the need in the Hilltop Baptist Church for what God would have us to do? Man, I got to tell you, we can gripe, we can moan, we can groan about all the stuff that's going on around us. You know, we can even talk about in our own neighborhood. I was reading a report the other day about just Fairfield itself and then some of the neighboring areas. And there are things going on. I began to look at that and I'm thinking, I had no idea. That's in our community? Seriously? We really have gangs in our community? Seriously? I don't see them. I'm stupid. I don't know. I'm isolated from that, you know. Most of my world is around you guys. I don't see all of that. The only time I see those things, you know, is if I go to the grocery store, if I go get gas. I'm not in those circles. Quite frankly, it was surprising to me when they were sharing some of these things. I hear about the heroin epidemic. I preach funerals. I'm going to tell you now, I bet you I preached about 2 to 3 funerals a month from people who have died on overdose. But I don't see it. I think, how did they die? Where did that come from? It's not in Fairfield. You know why? Because I don't see it. Out of sight, out of mind. I know it's here. I'm not stupid. I've read the reports. They tell me that 1 out of every 9 heroin overdose is in Butler County. Oh, 1 out of every 9 in the nation. In the nation, Butler County. That's pretty big, isn't it? I don't see it. I don't see it. You know why? Because I'm not in that circle. Out of sight, out of mind. But keep in mind, you know what the real thing is? Those people need Jesus. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not seeing the burden. We're missing the burden. We're missing some things that we need in our heart and in our life. And we wonder sometimes, why is it the Hilltop Baptist Church doing more than what the Hilltop Baptist Church is doing? Because for some reason, we're missing the burden. You know, when Paul would go into cities and turn them upside down, he didn't do that by picketing and holding rallies and lobbying. He did that by just sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel. Folks, we have got to step out of our comfort zone. And we've got to say, listen, there's a wall to be built. There is something that needs to be done. There is something that needs to be accomplished. God has called us to go out into this community to share the gospel. And folks, we have got to do that. And the only way we're going to do that is to first get that burden for lost people. And if we don't have that burden, we're never going to step out. That's the problem. Nehemiah would still be a cupbearer for Artaxerxes if he had never seen the burden. If he had never realized the burden. What about those people in Jerusalem? Let me tell you about the people in Jerusalem. And he wept. He prayed. He fasted. What are we doing? Second thing. And I got to tell you, this is the one after a pastor's heart. The burden has to be shared, and it has to be kind of a unified burden. Nehemiah 2:18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. Nehemiah's next task was, I got to get the people on board. I'm here to tell you, if your pastor doesn't have a burden, you'll never have a burden. If your church leaders never have a burden, you'll never have a burden. If your deacons never have a burden, you're never going to have a burden. If your Sunday school teachers never have that burden, you're never going to have that burden. And folks, we need to be able to see in our own life, we need to be able to have that burden so that we can see others grasp that and take hold of that. If I can't convey to you how important it is for us to tell a lost community about Jesus Christ, I've not done my job. And I have to tell you, it's the thing that breaks a pastor's heart probably more than anything else is when you can't unify folks to a common cause, and that common cause being that folks are dying and going to hell and they need Jesus. Folks, we get so caught up in a lot of things. You know, I can throw 1,001 things at you. You know, I can talk about how much I hate disease. I can talk about how much I stand on the word. Good, solid thing. I can tell you how doctrinally sound I am. I can tell you how our church toes the line. I can tell you about, you know, whether it's our music, whether it's the Bible we use. I can tell you 1,001 things. But none of that makes any difference if I can't tell people about Jesus. It's all just talk. Just talk. If I don't tell people about Jesus Christ, I have got to have a burden for lost souls. And folks, I don't know how to convey that until you see people dying without Jesus. When we look at this, you know, it goes back to those missionaries. I can't buy into what they're doing until I see something. I kind of need to see what they're dealing with. I kind of need to feel it. I kind of need to know it. I kind of need to grasp that some way so that I know that I want to put my financial support there. I want to pray for them. I want to get involved in that. But I got to be able to see what it is that they're sharing. I got to buy into their burden. I got to tell you, until we get to that place where we understand that need and where we're unified and saying we want to come together and accomplish this task, we'll never see folks come to know Christ like we ought to see folks come to know Christ. But when you do, when Nehemiah does, look, notice this. Back in verse 17, he lays out the whole problem, and he calls their attention to it. Here's what he does. He says, number one, he says, do you see the distress? Can you see the problem? I'm going to tell you now, the problem with addicts is not their addiction. It's the relationship with Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're all lost. Don't misunderstand that. I'm saying they need a better fellowship with Jesus because he's the only one that can give them the strength to overcome that addiction. I'm going to tell you now, I don't have the strength. You don't have the strength. You need God in your life. When I think about folks that are out there and they're robbing our homes or they're getting caught up in gangs or they're they're lying, or they're doing whatever it is they're doing. That's not the problem. That's the symptom of the problem. The problem is they need Jesus. And I think sometimes we miss that. We look at our world, we look at our society, and we think, oh, this is the problem, that's the problem. No, the problem is we're not preaching Jesus like we need to preach Jesus. Just about as simple as that. When you get saved, you think differently, you act differently, your life changes. See how Jerusalem lieth waste, he said? Do you see the problems that lies out here? Do you see what's going on because there's no walls, because there's nothing to protect you? People just run rampant in here. Animals run rampant. Do you see this? Do you see how the gates are burned down, he says? I mean, the gates have been burned down ever since Babylon conquered them, and the gates are still burned down. You've not done anything to fix them up. Don't you see the plight? Look at the plight of your situation. Do you see the reproach? Do you not see the effect it makes even on God? Look at what it makes God look like. You're God's people. You're God's chosen nation. And yet, look. Look at your city. You know, I was thinking about this week. And I was thinking about, I'm sitting there watching them put all the blacktop and stuff out there. I got to tell you, to watch it, it's just a huge process. Before, I'm thinking, it costs $74,000 to put on in a parking lot? You got to be kidding. Now, after having watched, I'm sitting back going, it only cost $74,000. It's kind of crazy. But here's the deal. I'm sitting there watching them build and do this parking lot, you know, and do all the things they're doing. And I'm thinking, you know, it's good that when God's given you a piece of property, when God's given you a building, when God's given you these things, to keep it up. You know, the neighbors need to look at that and be able to say they love their God. They love what God's given them. They appreciate the things God's done for them. I'm just one of those guys that think that we ought to respect that and that we ought to, whatever God's given us, take the best care of it we can possibly take. And we've been blessed. God's put some people in our church, I got to tell you, that love the Lord and that will do things that nobody else wants to do. You know, there's reasons why the buses, you know, run on occasion. There's reasons why the heat kicks on. There's reasons why the electric bills pay. There's reasons why things are done and fixed. And, you know, and sometimes when we just come and go and come and go, we have no idea what's going on. God's put the right people in there that love him enough to do the job that God's called them to do. I appreciate that. But my point being is he's looking at Jerusalem. He's going, God gave you this city. This represents Israel. When you think about Israel, you think Jerusalem, do you not? This is your city. It's a reproach. It doesn't just look bad on you, it looks bad on your God. We need to do something with this. Something needs to happen. Folks, when we don't do what God has called us to do, it doesn't just look bad on us. It looks bad on our God. And I think it's important that we understand. In verse 18, he gives a little bit of a personal testimony, and he basically says, God's been good to me. Not just because I was able to be the cupbearer for the king, but he used that so that I can do this, and he's allowed me to be a part of this. I have to tell you, I feel that way. I feel that way about the Hilltop Baptist Church, to be honest with you. I feel like God's blessed me. He's put me here so that I can be a part of this with you. So that we can share together, so that we can accomplish things together. You see, this is the work that God has given us. And I can't help but to say that sometimes, you know, we need some help. And sometimes we do need people to join in and to get caught up in that burden for reaching people for Jesus Christ. But I got to tell you, I love what God has given me. And I love where God has placed me. You know, when we look at this, calling people out and all of us getting involved with this, Jesus said in Luke 10:2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Not only that, but Jesus commands us in Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. And their response, let us rise up and build. That's the response you want to hear. Let us rise up and build. One of the greatest things that a pastor can ever hear. Pastor, I'm willing to do whatever it is I need to do. What do I need to do? Where do you need help? What would you like for me to do? You need people that want to do God's will, that want to do God's work. And when we rise up, man, great things happen. When these people said we're willing to build, they didn't have to be carpenters. I'd venture to say not all of them were builders, but God used all of them to build. Let me rise up and commit to visitation. Let me rise up and commit to a ministry. Let me rise up and commit to inviting everybody I can possibly invite, not only to church, but to Jesus Christ. Let me commit to doing my part to support missions and ministries and all that already serve in those things. Let me commit to just saying, God, what do you want me to do? You want me to be a part of the Hilltop Baptist Church? I need to be a part of the Hilltop Baptist Church. For those that don't know Jesus Christ as a Savior, do I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior? Let me tell you, yes. No greater thing that you can possibly do than to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Trust Him. What He said to do, He'll do. Understand this. I'm just going to leave off here. Understand how important this work is that God has called us to do. To tell people about Jesus Christ. We need to get a grip on that need. Not only get a grip on the need, but we need to join in on that. We need to say, I want to be a part of that. I want to go out. I want to do. I want to be everything you would have me to be. Please let me be that part. I know we got responsibilities, and I know we got jobs, and I get all that. But we need to also say, God, let me not use that as an excuse to keep from doing what you've called me to do. I need to serve. Today, can you just follow His will? Let me ask you to bow your heads if you would. With your heads bowed, I want you to think about this. What is it in your life that God would have you to do? How important are these things to you? When was the last time you can honestly say, I've wept over someone I know that needs to know Jesus Christ? When was the last time you can honestly say, I told someone how to be saved? You know, we'll use a lot of excuses. And sometimes if you look back, you're going to find what most of us find. I got so caught up in everything else, I didn't take the time. I just didn't take the time to tell them about Jesus. Where are you today? What are you doing today? Are you ready to make the decisions that God would have you to make? Father, I pray, speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. Let this be the day, Lord, that we rise up and build. Let this be the day that we rise up and say, God, here am I. I need to serve you. I need to do what you've called me to do. God, I need to be able to see the need. Help me, God, to be burdened for lost souls. Help me to know what you would have me to do. God, I don't want to stand on the sidelines. I want to be a part. Let me, God, please be obedient unto your will. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.